Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the Old Testament lesson of the day found in Isaiah 62 verses 1 through 5. For the sake of Zion, I will not be silent. For the sake of Jerusalem, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth shining brightly and her salvation burns like a torch. Nations will see your righteousness, and all kings will see your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will assign to you. Then you will be a beautiful crown in the Lord's hand, and a royal diadem in the palm of your God. You will never again be called abandoned, and your land will never again be called desolation. For you will be called, My Delight is in her, and your land will be called married. Because the Lord delights in you, and your land will be married. For just as a young man marries a virgin, your sons will marry you. And just as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, your God will rejoice over you. This is our text. Dear people of God, our worship service today rotates completely around the gospel lesson of the day, which is the miracle, Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine. Our Old Testament lesson takes this opportunity to show the Lord's relationship to the church, from which we get our concept of the blessing of Christian marriage. You can't understand marriage if you don't understand this, the Lord's relationship to his church. So many marriages go wrong in our world, and people wonder why. Well, it's quite obvious. People don't know Christ. If you don't know Christ and his relationship to the church, you can't possibly understand what marriage is. We must first know this, the Lord and his church. First of all, the Lord insists on giving his church righteousness. That's number one. Because the church is us sinners. And the Lord can't stand to have sin anywhere near him. And so if the Lord is going to love his church, he had to first cleanse her of all of her sins. Now there are many passages that describe this, but most memorable to me is from the book of 1 Peter. Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the guarantee of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Father had to send his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to give his righteousness to the Lord's bride, the church. Christ's blood, along with the Spirit's water, cleanse us from all sin and impurity so that the Father can look at us with joy and love. And once righteousness is given to all who believe in Jesus as their Savior, then the Lord can boast about his now beautiful and cleansed church and expand her. Nations will see your righteousness, and all kings will see your glory. This verse carries the spirit of Epiphany, that Jesus came not just to save Israel, but to save all in the world who would look to him in faith. And again, there are many passages that talk about this same thing, but probably most famous is Isaiah himself. From earlier, chapter 49, the Lord said, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up only the tribes of Jacob. So I will appoint you to be a light for the nations, so that my salvation will be known to the ends of the earth." This church that the Lord loves and purifies and saves is not just a small group of people over in the Middle East. Believers come from all over the world who are changed by the Spirit's work, working through the simple but almighty Word of God. The wise men of a couple weeks ago were a good example of this idea that Jesus is not just for the Jews, but for all people. And now us, sitting in pews today, 2,000 years later, all the way on the other side of the globe, prove the same thing. The Lord's love and gift of righteousness is so great that it extends all the way to us here. Which brings us to the next description of the Lord's church. Then you will be a beautiful crown in the Lord's hand, and a royal diadem in the palm of your God. A diadem is just another word for a bejeweled crown or a tiara. The picture is of a royal bride, all decked out in the jewels of the nation, to present herself not just as a treasure for her new husband, but really to present herself as a symbol of the nation, a symbol of its power, a symbol of the importance of the kingdom. See, the church is the Lord's masterpiece. The Lord values his church more than the heavens and the earth that he made on the first day. Why? Well, because of sin. The heavens, which is just the sky, and the earth, will all be burned up with fire on the last day of judgment. It will all be laid bare. But the church, the Lord's beloved, will endure with the Lord past the last day, and will join the Lord in paradise forever and ever and ever and ever, world without end. And why is the church so valued? Well, because of what the Lord has done for her. Again, the church is made up of sinners. And what the Lord has done, the feather in his cap, is that he saved us. Do you know how hard that is to do? To save us, sinners? That's the greatest miracle of all. Turning water into wine is child's play for the Lord. But taking sinners like us and cleansing us of all of our sins, purifying us so that the perfect God can look at us and call us holy? Now that's a miracle. That's what the Father has done for us. Through the blood of his Son. That's his masterpiece. He made us holy. He saved us all by himself. Your salvation is the Lord's crowning achievement. He must truly be a great, great God. Therefore, he has given us a new name. That's what all this new name stuff is about. No longer are we to be called desolate, abandoned, forsaken, left alone. See, that's what it looks like to the world. And that's what it sometimes feels like to us. We look silly to the Lord. You people don't want money. You don't want power. You don't want influence. All you want is to live a quiet life and then to die in faith in the true God. Well, you don't get your names on plaques doing that. You'll never be famous if you're not TikToking. What fools we look like. To waste our time in the church and to waste our money on missions. And we often feel silly. When the day of trouble comes, we wonder, where is this God that we spent so much time on? Have we made a gigantic mistake? Why isn't he helping us? Our sinful nature and our human rational mind are also on the attack against our faith. But you will be called Hephzibah and Beulah. Those are the Hebrew terms here, and they really are pretty beautiful. They used to be used for girls' names. The Lord delights in you? That's Hephzibah. The married one? That's Beulah. That's you. You are God's church. And you are the ones that he sacrificed his son for. You are the ones that he values more than the heavens and the earth. Just listen to these earth worshipers around us once. They talk about Mother Earth. They talk about how she must be saved above all things, how that's the most important thing. Well, the Lord says that you are more important than the earth that he made first. And the thing is, he can actually do something about saving you. For his name is Jesus Christ, our righteousness. For just as a young man marries a virgin, your sons will marry you. And just as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, your God will rejoice over you. With this verse, we can clearly see the marriage picture, and we can clearly see that marriage is being used as a picture. This is not a worldly marriage that Isaiah is talking about here. It's a metaphor. Because like all pictures, it cannot live up to the real thing. God loves you more than a groom loves his bride. God is more devoted to you than a new bridegroom. Our marriages last a lifetime if they are blessed by the Lord and full of repentance and forgiveness and prayer and Bible study. The Lord's marriage to us, his church, well, that lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, we can learn a lot about marriage studying these passages about the Lord's relationship with his church, and we should. We're supposed to. But we can never live up to it because we are us, sinners. We are full of failure. We are full of temptation. The Lord's ideal marriage to his church remains just that. It's ideal. It's perfect. For the Lord never fails to forgive. He never fails to love. He never fails to put his bride first in all things. He never fails to serve us with all that he is. Just remember that that's you. You are the ones. You are the objects of God's love and devotion. A devotion that he showed to you in sacrificing his son. So go and be the people of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.